Let us pray. Lord, we have sung about you and our relationship with you, our desires and your desires. And Lord, it comes down to our hearts, doesn't it? And how you want our heart. It's the center of our life. It's everything. Teach us your way today. In Jesus' name, amen. As we anticipate the baptism this morning, one of the statements that they will be making or answering to is not just, and one of them is, have you accepted Jesus Christ? But notice the words, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Lord. In our invocation, we read Psalm 86, verse 11 and 12. For this morning and this evening, I want to look at verse 11. For this morning, I want to look at that word, Lord, and the latter part of the verse. Lord. Lord is not a word that we would commonly use as we would talk about each other, or most of you probably don't call your boss Lord. Most of you probably don't refer to me as Lord. It's not what we do. But you know, when we use the word Lord, the definition of that word is a person who has power or authority over others. A person who has power or authority over others. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? We've talked about salvation over the last couple of months and what it means to be saved and the wonder of our salvation. What about the lordship of Jesus Christ? That part that we have given him power and authority over our lives. You know, if you type that word, O Lord, or the Lord, into a computer Bible, you will find way over 6,000 and even over 7,000 references to Lord. Lordship is a thread that runs right through the Scriptures. But there's an interesting thing that you will notice as you go through the Scriptures. When Jesus, and there's a couple of instances where he talks about the lords of the human lords, and he says that they exercise authority over you. They have power over you. They make you do what they want you to do. But the interesting thing is that here we have Jesus Christ, who is Lord. And he invites you to submit to his lordship. He invites us. He does not rule over us. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" You see, when we use the word Lord, we are talking about someone that we have submitted authority and power to. And he says, "You call me Lord, Lord, but it's here. It never translated down to the feet." How does that work? We know that in most cases in human dictatorships, it wouldn't work, right? For us to get that picture of who we are talking about when we say, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say?" We find these words repeated over and over again in the scriptures that we find in Isaiah 45. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me. So from the rising of the sun to this place of its setting, men may know that there's none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Here we have, as we find in Revelation chapter 19, verse 16, at the end of the age, when Jesus comes in all of his glory, on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That leaves no one else. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who could force you to bow the knee to him, doesn't do it. He invites. Oh yes, the day will come where you will bow the knee. The day will come where you will stand before the judge of all the earth, and you no longer will have a choice. But today, he still invites you to bow the knee. Do we really give Jesus, God, the authority and the power in our lives? Oh, as we've been talking about salvation, we want to be saved. And we want to have all the good things that God has for us. But we would sure like to tell him what those good things are. We often desire to have God in our life, but only when we need him, or when we feel that we need him. We only need a Lord, someone to have authority and power over us, when it's going our way and we need to exercise that in order to have our way. In some ways we're saying, Lord, Lord, please let me continue my way of life. How can we change that? How can we just live and allow the Lord to be Lord of our lives? It begins with the heart. That passage, the invocation this morning, I just want to look at the last half of that verse this morning and then the first half in the evening. That's how you do it, right? You start at the end and then work your way up. He says, give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. The context for this verse is the sovereignty of an almighty God. And the psalmist says to him, give me an undivided heart. It's your heart where Jesus wants to be Lord of, because it's from there that all your desires, everything about you, comes and begins. Give me an undivided heart. Undivided, and I will not even try to say the Hebrew word, that words, two words that are being used for that. But what it means is, would you unite or would you join all the purposes, resolutions, and passions of my heart together into one? Would you take and put those purposes of my heart? When we were talking about salvation, we noted that when we ask Jesus, when we confess our sins and we ask Jesus Christ to be our Savior, that at that moment we are saved. Our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God sees us as perfect in His eyes. But then we also said that there was a way in which our life continues to change and become more like His. That's what we find here. He says, and go partway through the 12th verse here, he says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Your heart will need to be changed until the day that Jesus takes you home to be with him. every day of your life, you can let God change your life to become more like Him. Continue to work out, for it is God who works in you to will and to act. To will means to purpose, according to His good purpose. Not only to that you can act, because that's what we want to do. We want it to become a decision we're going to live out. But how so many decisions we make, we don't keep them. So many resolutions we make, we don't keep them. And so God works in us so that we can will and act His good purposes. So take the purpose of my heart and align it with the resolution. To resolve something is to, it's New Year's, right? New Year's resolutions, we call them. But it is a resolving to do something. It's a course of action that we are determined or decided to take. Daniel says, it says about him, Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself that way. Paul said, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Yesterday at the Stronger Together conference, the speaker, Ruth, talked about if you want to get ready for your New Year's resolution, what do you do? If you want to resolve to eat healthier, exercise more, then you pig out over Christmas because you know that New Year's is coming, right? And then you can't figure out why you can't keep your resolution. You see, to resolve to do something means that it begins now. You decide to work something. Your life and the choices you make in your life are actually what will determine whether you will keep your resolutions or not. When Daniel was in that new king captive in Babylon, and when all that food was set before him, his resolution that he would not eat it did not begin there. It began while he was still a free man back in Jerusalem. Lord, take my purpose, take my resolution, and take my passions, and unite them. Unite my heart. Titus says that the Bible teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly in this present age. Passions can be out of control. You can allow your passions to rule you and you can give in to them and they can destroy your life. Or you can take your passions and in a self-controlled way, which actually goes back to your purpose and your resolution. And then your passions become something that you will give to God. It actually boils down to your heart again. That undivided heart. Who do you love? What do you love? You can only have one love. If you have two loves, one is not going to be a love. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with some of your heart." No, with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. And if that becomes your undivided heart, because this heart isn't divided, if that is your purpose, your resolution, your passion, that you will follow after God this morning in our Christian life class, that we will pursue, then you will be able to say with the psalmist, or you will be able to say to God, I should say, "O Lord, my heart is undivided, and it does fear your name." I want to read a a poem, An Undivided Heart by Crystal Godfrey. And may this be our prayer as we listen to the testimonies of what God is doing in the lives of the people that we'll be sharing this morning and again this evening. May this become a prayer together with them, that God would give us this undivided heart. Lord, put in me a new spirit. Remove my heart of stone and give to me a heart of flesh that trusts in you alone. O that I may fear your name each day right from the start. O Lord, please give to me an undivided heart. I want a gaze that never wavers or loses sight of the goal, to keep its focus on obeying you with mind and body and soul. Help me to walk in submission to Christ, in whole and not in part. O Lord, please give to me an undivided heart. I want your joy to be my greatest strength, your salvation my impassioned praise, your holiness to be my way of living for all the rest of my days. Keep me steadfast in doing your work and following the course that you chart. O Lord, please give to me an undivided heart. Teach me to daily die to self and spend much time in prayer, that I may be discerning of those around me and treat them with genuine care. I want to be totally true to you, to wear your righteousness as my mark. O Lord, please give to me an undivided heart. I want to live the time you've given me, committed fully to your purpose and call. Lord, consume me with your awesome presence. Cause me on my knees to fall and bow to your desire for my life. Let no circumstance keep us apart. O Lord, please give to me an undivided heart. Lord, this would be our prayer, that you would give to each of us an undivided heart, that we would fear your name. May our hearts be fully, totally given to you. O Lord, we want to love you with all of our heart, our soul, our minds. But Lord, so many times our heart is divided, our love is divided, our purpose, our resolutions, and our passions don't line up. Make them one. Give to us, Lord, an undivided heart. Amen. The psalmist said that in reality, your life will never be complete until you join him in praying this verse, 86, verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. As we listen to the testimonies this morning, it will be part of what we will be hearing and what we will be enjoying. I have enjoyed as we have gone through our classes, as I've listened and they've participated in our lessons. So this morning we have the privilege of baptism for Stacy and for Ryan and Carrie. And so I'm going to ask Stacy to come first and share her testimony, and we will baptize her, and then Ryan and Carrie will come. Stacy, would you come?
Good morning. I grew up in a good home with loving parents that tried to raise us right and in the Christian way. As far back as I can remember, church and Bible study, Sunday school, youth group, VBS, Bible camp, you name it, it was always a part of our lives. I can't remember the exact age I was when I accepted Christ into my heart, but I know that the first time it wasn't a genuine commitment. When I was younger, I often have nightmares of some boogeyman chasing our family, or the house would burn down, and I don't know why, but it was always Mom that was left in the house. Yeah, she's probably going like, what? On one particular night, I couldn't fall asleep because I was afraid that I'd have one of these dreams or both. And so I went to my mom for help, and she had asked me if I had asked Jesus to help me, that I wouldn't be afraid if I had accepted him in my heart. And I didn't really know what she meant or how to go about it, so she led me in one of those repeat after me prayers, and so off to bed I went. I don't remember if I had a nightmare or not, but I know that I didn't really know what I was doing, and I didn't understand what accepting Christ into my life meant. When I was around 8, I accepted the Lord again, only this time I had a better understanding, and I knew what it meant, and I knew what I was doing. But as every child must, and most parents dread, they grow up and become teenagers, and then the fun starts. I would like to say that I was always an easy child for my parents, but I know that I wasn't. There have been some trying moments for both for them and for myself and for the people that I love and ones closest to me. But one day I sort of challenged God. I wanted him to show me something. I still don't know what. I didn't really have a point to prove. I wanted answers to questions that I couldn't even form. So as I was flipping through my Bible, one day I came across a verse, and it's found in Hebrews 13:8. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I sat there for a moment and remembered all the different stories that I'd heard from so long ago in the Bible. And I realized that I had begun to think that, he wasn't the same now as he was before. Somehow he's not as involved in our lives, and he's more distant, and we don't need his help anymore. And that I had just become so distracted by the world and all the things in the world. But I know that that's only true if you refuse him to be a part of your life. I know that he is always there, he's always waiting with open arms to embrace me. I'm so glad I accepted him, that I'm his child. For I am convinced that neither life, death, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, 38 and 39.
Stacy, we have heard your testimony, and you have shared about what Jesus has done in your life. Stacy, do you believe that Jesus is Lord, that the Bible is of the Word of God, and that there is salvation only through Jesus Christ? Stacy, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and are you committed to following Him as the Scriptures teach? Upon that confession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Good morning. Acts 2, verse 38, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit." I came to know the Lord as a child. I was fortunate to have grown up in a home where I attended church and Sunday school every week without fail. And I was previously baptized as a child when I was 8. But that wasn't my choice. That was something that I was told I had to do, and so I did it. I don't regret that. But my experience as a child gave me a very good base to form my current relationship with God. And I'll always be thankful to my mother for making me attend church, even when I didn't want to. I wanted to sleep in or do something that I thought was more fun. And I mention this to my kids all the time, in a hope that one day they'll be standing in front of a congregation telling the same story and saying, "Thanks, Mom and Dad, for making us go to church." Unfortunately, only my mother attended church. My father did not. And that led to some conflict in the home between my parents, made for some very awkward moments and some very stressful moments. And when I left my parents' home and went to college, I didn't attend church on a regular basis until my wife and I moved to La Crete. I can recall many times praying very hard as a young man for strength and courage and forgiveness. I remember at a very young age receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, and I've always maintained this gift. However, like many, I have not chosen to always listen and to take heed to what the Spirit has told me to do. While in the RCMP, many of the detachments my family and I were posted to had no church to attend, or the churches in the community did not seem to be very welcoming or open. We did try a few, but never got the feeling that we belonged in any sense. I knew that my responsibility to my family and myself was to be a leader in the home and to raise my children in a setting where they could begin their journey to know and love the Lord. I prayed many times for the courage and opportunity to do so, and I am certain that the opportunities did exist, but I was either too blind or I did not want to see them. I know for certain the Lord finally led us to La Crete, for which I'll be eternally thankful. Our Heavenly Father has entrusted me with a wonderful wife. Who has followed me all over two provinces in the Northwest Territories, and two absolutely wonderful children who have put up with moving from town to town and from school to school, and we'll stay here, don't worry, relax, we're not moving. There are also many occasions, almost countless, while I was in the RCMP, that the Holy Spirit guided me through some very dangerous situations. Some call it their spidey senses, but I always knew what it was. On the other hand, the Holy Spirit also filled me with compassion and understanding for the people that called on me for help, even when I initially didn't feel this way. When I look back on some of the situations I was in, I was quite simply a miracle that I'm standing here today to be baptized. These are but a few of the reasons I know the Lord has accepted me as his child. Who else but a father can have the patience and skill to protect and guide me to the place we're now in? A baptism for me means to repent of my sins, accept the Lord as my Savior. And when looking through the scriptures, I came across a very simple explanation of baptism that struck home for me. It's found in Acts 19, verse 4. And Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. Membership for me means that I'm part of this growing, or this group of believers, and for the last number of years, I've had the chance to watch and grow as a Christian to the place I am now. Not that I believe you ever stop growing. I'm just glad that I have waited and made this decision after much thought and prayer. And I'm very thankful that I'm able to do it with my wife today. I find it very exciting to be growing in my personal faith, and we are enjoying becoming a part of a smaller group of people to meet with. I think this is very important to the church and pray that these groups flourish. My wife and I were fortunate to have taken the network course to learn about our spiritual gifts, and one of the great lessons I took from this course is the realization that there are many areas where you can serve in the church, and you need to seek out those areas that are suited for you. For those who have taken that course, I'm a proud gold green. I don't know if anybody knows what I'm talking about, but or at least I think I am anyways. While I don't see myself teaching Sunday school or subjecting you to my singing voice, I do look forward to playing my part to help this group of believers move forward. And I'd just like to close with a verse from 1 Corinthians that's important to me. It talks about not being complacent, staying on your guard from the forces that wish to push you off the path. It's 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. It's be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, and be strong.
I am probably not going to look up very much, so I hope you don't mind.
Here, I'll help.
A friend of mine said the other day, why will it bother you, or why will you be emotional? You stand in front of people every day and talk. I can talk about flight or government or whatever you want to talk about that talks about grade 6 curriculum, but when I talk about stuff that really means something to me, it's a little tougher. I want to start with reading a Bible verse from Ephesians 4:29, if I can see it. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. I don't remember the first time I called myself a Christian, but I know that I've always believed in God and the Bible, and that Jesus died on the cross for me. Sorry. Whew. I didn't grow up in a home where outwardly practicing was the norm, so deciding to go to church was one that I made as an adult. I remember as a grade 5 student, the special day that the men from the Gideon Society came to our school and handed us our little red Bibles, and then how I spent the next several weeks reading it before I went to bed each night. And what a good feeling that gave me. I also remember around the age of 10 or 11, as silly as this sounds, while sweeping out my parents' garage, I felt such a holy presence as I talked to God about holding me safe, as I then had a big decision to make. I know that my life changed that day as I realized I was a child of God and that He would help me through whatever came my way. My trust in the Lord has always been a source of strength. God has helped me through many difficult situations in my life, as He has for everyone. He has always been there for me to thank for the many blessings He has given me and to celebrate on numerous occasions. I consciously have become a better person because I now know that I am accountable to Him and try my best to live in a way that will glorify Him. Retrospectively, it has been a huge step for me to stand here and declare my faith, as this is not how and where I grew up, but something I came to know because of the help of some terrific role models who gave me the knowledge, strength, and courage to live inwardly and outwardly as a follower of Jesus. This is the decision that I'm so glad for, and for the acceptance of living a Christian life in a place like La Crete. I no longer notice people who before I would compare myself to in a different light, calling them religious, but now finding myself aspiring to live like they do. Going to church, participating in the services, living the messages, and trying to be a Christian role model for my own children and the children I teach is something I value very highly. I know that God has forgiven me for my sins, as I have learned to forgive others as well. And I know that I'm one of His children because I feel a deep personal effect now as I pray and as I read my Bible. Things now have more meaning, and I find myself wondering why I was skeptical or confused before. I now understand the meaning of the messages with clarity that I never had until I gave up and stopped resisting. I'm keeping my relationship with God healthy in many ways. I now find myself actually wanting to learn more about the Bible and trying to learn from and live its messages. I'm surrounding myself with people who feel the same way as I do, and I'm actually actively telling people about my decision to follow the Lord, as I never imagined, never, I would ever feel confident enough to do. Not growing up going to church, made coming to some place that was an established congregation very intimidating. But I've always felt very welcome here, and that is something I appreciate. Deciding to be baptized is a huge mind stretch that I couldn't imagine even making 6 months ago. But different experiences that I've recently been through, thanks to prayer and trust in the Lord, have just proven to me that openly declaring and following God is the right decision to make. I have put my fear of judgments of others who may not understand my choice and just stand up, or in this case, kneel, and do what I feel is the right thing for me and my own salvation. Ryan and I and our children moved here with no intention of staying longer than his required duration with the RCMP, which was 3 years. We began coming to this EMC church and came for about 2 years before we decided that the possibility of making La Crete our home would be one that would become real. It's very, very difficult to move to a place like this where you do not have any extended family and everyone else seems to have an abundance of it, and where everyone else is a cultural Mennonite, if not a religious one. It's difficult looking in at that and trying not to be intimidated, and then to not only live for today, but realizing this today is your future as well. Pastor Dirksen said something in our Christian life classes a few weeks ago that I immediately felt touched my heart, and it made me believe that this decision to be baptized and then to become a member of the La Crete Christian Fellowship was correct. He said something like, We have chosen to follow a path of faith and to follow the principles set out as a member of an EMC church, and that it doesn't mean what you wear, what kind of food you eat, or how large your family is, but it is what you believe. I know that being baptized as an adult who makes this choice and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ for myself, as well as a member of the La Creek Christian Fellowship, is something I want to be. Sorry. And sorry for me.
Don't be. No apologies. We have listened to your testimonies, and God has blessed us. And so, Ryan, do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, that the Bible is the Word of God, and that there is salvation only through Jesus Christ? Have you repented of your sin and accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and are you committed to following Him as the Scriptures teach? On that confession of your faith, Ryan, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Carrie, do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, that the Bible is the Word of God, and that there is salvation only through the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you repented of your sin and accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you committed to following Him as the Scriptures teach? On that confession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Walking and living and enjoying the Christian life is not done solo, all alone. But it's in a community of faith. It's in a community of faith that we learn together. It's in a community of faith that we care for each other, that we walk with each other. And that's why we see membership as important. This isn't membership into the Church of Jesus Christ. That membership you got the day you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you were baptized by the Holy Spirit into His church. No, the baptism and the membership we have are symbolisms that remind us of important truths of the Christian life. Part of the statements that the people will be making this morning as they come in what we call membership, join our church, will be that part of walking in faith together, holding each other accountable, and just kind of being that family, not only brothers and sisters in the Lord. And it's beautiful how we can experience that around the world. You can sit in an airport and you meet someone and you find out they're a Christian. And guess what? You begin to call each other brother and sister, and you just enjoy that fellowship. But you may never meet them again, may never see them again. You may not have an impact on their lives other than blessing them that day. But being in membership together, La Creek Christian Fellowship, we are saying this is where we want to serve God. This is where we want to care for each other, love each other. Yes, we're still part of a larger body, local body in La Crete. And we could call it the Church of La Crete. And that would be much larger than this one yet. But this is where we choose to serve and where we choose to live out our faith in our community. We have the privilege this morning of having three people join us. Well, George and Karen, we're going to accept you back. You started your journey here and you left for a little bit and you found out you couldn't do without us. Well, I'm not sure. We'll hear how that journey went. But we're looking forward to having you folks back here as God has led you back here. And Emily, she would like to be at the same church where her husband is. So, Emily, you kind of have an advantage over, especially like over Carrie, over the rest of us, because if the tears start to flow, you can just go into signing. But we might have a trouble with that, even though I just love the fullness that brings to a hymn as I notice some of the things. I don't understand sign language, but when I see it with the song, it's deep and it impacts. But Emily, would you come and share your walk with us? And then George and Karen, would you come right after that?
Hi. I would rather sign, but I'm not fluent enough to do that than speak. I'm blessed to be able to say that I grew up in a home where Christ was the center. I was also blessed to have parents who believe very strongly in being mission-minded. I'm an MK, for those of you who don't know that. It's a missionary kid. It's a term that we're sort of classified as. Sometime when I was around the age of 7, my best friend and neighbor, who was not from a Christian home, quite the opposite, in fact, we were walking home from school. I informed her that it was time for us to become Christians. So I said a simple prayer, and she repeated after me. And then I said that we had to sing a song, so we sang all the way home. In the next couple of years, my parents were called to full-time overseas missions. So on September 11th, at around 8 o'clock in the morning, we flew out of JFK Airport in New York City on a 747 Air France flight. Now, that's 6 years earlier than the September 11th attacks, but we were headed to Turkey. Our time in Turkey was very formative to my young faith. I saw my parents and many other people reach out. I also saw and heard the tough questions of life and faith. I also saw some of the hardships Christians in that area of the world suffer. In the early summer of 97, we got the boot, and our time in Turkey ended unexpectedly, and we were on a plane back to the States. Thus, I entered a very confusing time in my life. I was out of place, being back in the States, and 2 years out of date, not to mention the usual adolescent dramatics. We lived in the heart of the Amish Mennonite country in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. I attended a private Mennonite school. It was during this time I started questioning my faith. Had I really, really become a Christian, singing on my way home from school one day? Late one night, as I laid in bed thinking and worrying about my salvation, I decided that I needed to make sure I had given my life totally to Christ. And so I prayed a prayer that night. That spring, I started to take baptism classes at the church my family had plugged into and become members at. I was then baptized Palm Sunday, April 5th, 1998, at New Life Fellowship in Ephrata, Pennsylvania. One of the pastors that baptized me is the same pastor that married Kevin and I over 10 years later. I can't say that my spiritual life changed drastically in that time. By the end of that year, my family made yet another move into full-time missions. This time, our destination was the town buried in snow in Ontario. It was minus 40 the day we moved to Red Lake. My time in Red Lake is when I really started coming out of my shell. I became a member at the church there as well. I actually hold dual membership right now, the church in New Life and the one in Red Lake, so I'm ending my dual citizenship. I was active in youth groups, serving on the committee for a couple of years. I volunteered at a local youth center, was part of a touring mime team, and helped my family in fostering. And I kept the usually overly busy teenage schedule. When it came time for the usual, what are you doing after you graduate question, it was usually followed by the, are you planning on going into missions? It's an MK that's expected of us. My parents had taught by example and word that anywhere you go, whatever you do, you are in missions. My answer was always, yes, I'm going into missions. I want to be a nurse, and through my career, I'll be a missionary. My parents strongly encouraged me first to attend Bible college for a year before starting school. I went back to Ohio, where I had originally become a Christian, sang that little song, the same area I spent a large chunk of my childhood years in. I attended Rosedale Bible College. And I really enjoyed my time there. It was a time of learning more about the Bible and building some wonderful relationships. I also decided that maybe instead of following my mother's footsteps in nursing, I would go towards my dad's and pursue a communications and media degree at Providence College in Manitoba. This would allow me to be closer than 24 hours away from my family. As well, I could be part of a mime troupe and pursue my interests in that area as well. The school year started off fine, and that fall I got a feeling that God was about to do something big in my life. Me, being a single 19-year-old girl at Bible college, had my own ideas about what that big thing might be. Laying in a hospital bed that November, hearing things about a brain tumor and not looking good, and unable to move the right side of my body, was not what I expected to be the big thing. Before my episodes began, I considered myself a strong Christian. My episodes showed me just how weak I was. The next couple of years, my faith became more and more real. God did do something big. He taught me how to rely. I can't see anymore. He taught me how to rely on him for my strength. I couldn't pull off the strong, independent woman very well anymore. I managed to finish that year of school, but decided since my condition was still unknown, it wasn't wise to pursue schooling. I made plans to move back in with my parents, and the mission my dad worked for needed a receptionist. My career in missions began. I saw a need, and I knew I could help. It wasn't a bolt from heaven, just a small, here's something you can do. From that office job, I went on to do grief counseling on a reserve where three boys had taken their lives in a span of 5 days, then on to teach grade 12 drama on another reserve, then back to the first reserve for the summer, and then that following winter to Thunder Bay to work at a Native Youth Center. There are too many things to list that God taught me through all of these experiences. While in Thunder Bay, I was planning on taking some girls to a Native Youth Conference in Missouri. Once again, I got the God's going to do something big feeling. I was scared. About 20 hours of driving one way, my chances didn't look so good. So I bought myself a CAA membership, and I was going to be prepared for the worst this time. Well, my grandpa passed away, and I hurried back to Thunder Bay after a funeral in Pennsylvania to make the trip to the conference. Two of the girls backed out, and so I almost didn't go, but the next day found me and a girl headed to Missouri. God did do something huge and life-changing on that trip. On Canada Day, I sat down next to this great guy from northern Alberta. Just over a year later, found us beside a lake in Ontario saying our wedding vows, and I didn't end up needing that membership for that trip to Missouri, but on the honeymoon, our fuel pump went, so it was useful. Now I'm happily married, expecting our first baby, and God doesn't stop using life to teach me more about him and his love for me. He's ironed out many kinks in my life, and I know that more will come. When do we ever stop falling down and wrinkling our lives? I enjoy this adventure God has us on, but I'm so glad he's the one behind the wheel. And I just have some verses that have meant a lot to me through the last years. I found them when I was going through my episodes in college. Or they really spoke to me then. I'm sure I read them before. But Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 4. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you, says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as a ransom for your freedom. I gave Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Others were given in exchange for you. I traded their lives for yours. Because you are precious to me, you are honored, and I love you. And then also someone pointed out to me later, verses 18 and 19, but forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness, and I will create rivers in the dry wasteland.
Good morning. I was up here on this stage 14 years ago, giving my testimony, being baptized, and becoming a member of this church. A year later, George and I got married and moved to High Level, making it very difficult to become involved in church activities. We decided to transfer our membership to the High Level EMC and enjoyed several years of getting to know our church family there. From High Level, we moved to Three Hills for 3 years, but we didn't transfer our membership to the Evangelical Free Church that we were attending. Last year, George and I and our three children moved back to LaCrete, so things seemed to have a way of coming full circle for us. Last year, when plans were underway for George to have his kidney transplant, God revealed how loving and compassionate he is. They say hindsight is 20/20, but he allowed me to see how blessed we were as we were going through our trial. We had family, friends, small groups, and our church supporting and praying for us. Our children were well taken care of, a skilled medical team at the U of A, a place to stay during transplant and recovery, and the biggest blessing, a very generous sister, with a kidney that was perfectly matched. There were so many big things and small details that needed to come together that I know God had his hand in it. During this time, I leaned on Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Being a child of God for several years, I understand the importance of a church family, and like any family, every member has an important role to play. My prayer is that I can use my gifts to benefit the church and in turn be strengthened and encouraged in my walk with God.
Yeah, Karen's usually the one that does this, so I'm a little bit nervous. Most of you know me and my family, but for the benefit of those that don't, my name is one of the George Fairs. I remember, yeah, like Karen said, 14 years ago we were married, and that's actually the last time I was up here. And I remember that day very clearly. I was sweating profusely on the stage. This whole idea about cold feet, that's a myth. You guys, if you're going to get married here and you're going to be up here, get some kind of fan system going here, because it, or a towel or something, I don't know. But anyways, that was the last time I was up here, and then we moved. Like, I guess we kind of read each other's testimonies yesterday, and the first part is very much the same, but bear with me. I'm going to kind of say the same thing over again here. My wife's name is Karen, and we have three children, Landon, Morgan, and Michael, who are sitting there nicely, not being threatened at all to be good. Yeah, in some respects, I made full circle from the time I was baptized here at La Crete, also becoming a member, to now where I'm again applying for the membership. When Karen and I became married in June 1996, we moved to High Level and became members of the High Level Christian Fellowship. We then moved to Three Hills in April of 2005 and attended the Mount Olive Free Church, never becoming members. In July 2008, we moved back here to La Crete, where it all began. So we kind of got our dates right, I think. It's another reason why we kind of checked each other's. For me, that was probably for my benefit. I remember my testimony very clearly back in April 23rd, 1995, where I had lots of words to explain what I thought Christian life should be like. 14 years later now, I had some more experience of what a Christian faith is like. And while Satan never seems to take a day off, and the challenge is to continuously seek God. As Pastor Peter put it in one of the messages, it takes intention and effort to be in a close relationship with God. I have been a Christian long enough to know how true that statement is. Throughout my walk with Christ, there have been many positive and negative influences in my life. I found that you've had to follow your own convictions of what is truth and what is false and test everything to the Word of God. The counsel of godly men and women have been such a blessing over the years that it's hard to imagine where I would be without it. Having been involved in a few different churches, it really reminds you that God's children are everywhere and the church family has no boundaries. The church family is so important for support, accountability, teaching, and I have come to rely on the fellowship of other believers for helping in my walk with the Lord and hope to continue that here at La Crete Christian Fellowship. The body of Christ is made up of many different parts, and I would be like to be able to use any of my gifts to help and encourage others in this church. That's it.
I'll ask Emily and Stacy and Ryan and Carrie to come join us. And we've noted in the testimonies the importance of the body of Christ and each other. And so as I ask the questions, the first questions I have here, I will just be asking of Emily and of George and Karen. The others have answered these already. You have all three of you made reference to your own baptisms and the confession that you made. So today we come to you and we ask you to reaffirm. You have experienced your Christian life and you're walking here. Will you continue? Do you still affirm or confirm that Jesus Christ is Lord, that the Bible is the Word of God, and that there is only salvation through Jesus Christ? It was neat to hear how God has brought you to Him and allowed you to walk with Him. The next questions will be for all of you. Trusting in the Holy Spirit for guidance, will you seek to lead a consistent Christian life? Will you honor Christ, seek to honor Christ in all of your relationships? Is it your desire to become a part of the La Crique Christian Fellowship family? Is it your desire to serve God together with us and to use your gifts here to serve others? Finally, will you commit yourself to supporting this church through prayer, regular worship, giving, and service? Have you, we have considered in our Christian life classes the statement of our faith of our congregation, and are you in agreement with that as well? Yes. To the members of our church here, will you accept these brothers and sisters in Christ into our fellowship? Will we promise to be a consistent Christian example to them? Will we pray for them? Will we encourage them and build them up? If you will join me as a member here to do that, would you as a member rise to your feet? These are the other members that you are joining as we continue to seek to be effective in God's kingdom here. Friends and family, it's really special to have your presence here this morning as well. It gives them encouragement and us encouragement. Now we want to give you the opportunity. Will you commit yourself to praying for these folks and encourage them whenever the opportunity does present it? If you would be willing to do that, we would ask you to rise as well. We are together with you in walking your Christian life and our Christian life together. Let's pray. Father, I am so glad that the body of Christ is a family. It's a building that continues to be built. It's the bride. There's so many illustrations that you use to help us to understand the wonder, the complexity, and the beauty of this relationship of being a church. And I thank you, Father, for what you want to do in and through us. And I pray a very special blessing on Stacy, on Emily, on Ryan and Carrie, on George and Karen, as they have joined and have made these commitments to be a part of this local body of believers, as they have been a part of the larger Church of Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen.